mess, depending on who we're listening to. So I'm asking for your grace right now. Go forward in obedience to you. Amen? I don't know what to, let's say, release to you, except there was a word that came loud and clear. And the word was exposing the man of sin. It came several times in the past couple of days, exposing the man of sin, or bringing identity to the man of sin. And a lot of times when we look to tradition, especially in the Christian church, we think of the man of sin as a man that's going to show up and become an antichrist. And he's going to be like Jesus. I remember learning all that. And there's a lot of material on that. But there's not a great deal of material on the man of sin, which is the man of flesh. And sometimes we have this weird concept that the man of sin is going to be revealed down the road. Get it? Down the road. 100 years from now, 20 years from now, 1988 was supposed to be the day that the man of sin was going to be visible. There's loads of Christian books on the subject. I bought quite a few. But the Lord was reminding me that the biggest man of sin is me. The old me. The man of flesh that wants his own way and pushes for what he wants rather than what the Holy Spirit would like. And we want to be able to identify this without bringing condemnation. Because I think a lot of times when you listen to some of the religious preachers, and I'm saying this hopefully not to criticize them, but that's what they were taught. When you're taught something, what do? You flow with what you were taught. Once you learn something and you see the fruits thereof, and you do get fruit. How many have tried to clean up their own act and were successful in a few corners? Put your hand up. How many failed miserably? Thank you. So again, see, St. Paul is writing to the Romans, and that's where we're going to be going this morning. He's writing to the Romans, but he's not an immature man. He's not a child just born again. St. Paul is a full, mature man of God, going around, starting churches, and being persecuted for being obedient, so he's not a baby Christian. Got it? Say, look at your neighbor and say, St. Paul was a grown, mature man. And he couldn't control his man of sin. Did I put you in good company? See, if I give you a critical concept of yourself, we're going to have the wrong understanding of what God wants out of his believers. If we constantly find fault with ourselves, how in God's name can you love your neighbor? You can't do it. Can you? You'll find that the critical forces coming out of your religious mind will find fault with all the things that they have done wrong and give yourself excuses that you're not there yet. Can I get a little tiny amen? So we want the other Christian to be perfect, and we have excuses for ourselves. After all, we're not mature yet. We're still under construction. Well, so are they. And God was trying to press into me. He said, the man of sin is in the mind. And it's also in the flesh. The carnal mind is against God. We got scripture for that, right? The carnal mind is against God. So everything that you perceive and understanding out of all the things that you've learned is really against God. So that's also Antichrist, isn't it? Okay. Now, there are several areas that I want to touch on, but the most important one is out of Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to also remind you that we don't comprehend ourselves, I believe, the way that God wants us to comprehend ourselves. So, I believe that as we begin to comprehend His real love for the entire man, the entire woman, His love was to transform us. And it takes time, it takes patience, and it takes grace and mercy. Because without it, you're going to be critical towards yourself. You're not going to be in love with the creation. You're not going to be visibly seeing the new creation. You're going to be focused on the old. And if you focus on the old, you're going to get full of anger. When I'm full of anger at myself, how are those around me going to be comfortable? What am I going to radiate? Did you ever walk into a clothing shop or a store, and the person that presents themselves to you is full of animosity and anger and judgment and criticalness, and they're trying to wait on you, and you've got that, let me out of here. Do you ever have someone trying to wait on you in a business office, and you know that there's a lot of goings on because they don't really want you to be there? Why? What are they radiating? They're radiating the wrong spirit. Amen? Now, if you're comfortable and you feel sweet when they are presenting themselves and their circumstances to you, that sweetness also is available, isn't it? That comfort is also available. So what do you want to be? You better be wanting to be sweet. Well, if you want your family to be changing, you need to be what? They learning to be sweet is my process of changing from the man of sin to the man of sweetness. The man of sweetness is Christ Jesus in me. He's full of love and compassion and mercy. The old nature, full of anger, judgment, fault finding, and I could go on. Amen? I could go on and on and on. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Verse 1. What shall we say? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? So, if you're dying to sin, that's a process as well, isn't it? Are you so ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into His death, if you realize you're baptized into His death, you better keep the focus on the reality that you already died. We were buried therefore with him by the baptism into death. So that just as Christ who raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. Now that's a lot of words. But it's to recognize that there's a part of me that's already dead, but there's also a part of me that's full of life. Amen? That part of me that's full of life should be in control all the time. But it isn't always. It's a part-time process until the fullness of Christ is established. Verse 5. If we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. Now, I'm using the Amplified because I believe there's a little extra words here that may give you a concept of the struggle that is ongoing. We know, verse 6, that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, did you hear that? Our body is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be slaves to sin. Now there's your what? Your man or woman of sin, visible. Amen? When you see it in your flesh, you begin to understand, oh my God, what do I do with this? Verse 7. For when a man dies as he is freed, loosed, delivered from the power of sin among men, now we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And I should say, you better put a big circle around the now. Because that was one of the things God was showing me. All through chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8, the word now. Now there's no condemnation. Now there is a resurrection person living inside of me. Amen? And I'll give you a few examples of that now. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Now, if I do what is contrary to my desires, I acknowledge and agree that the law is good and that I take sides with it. However, it is no longer I who do the deeds, but the sin principle, which is at home in me and has possession of me. Did you hear that? It has possession of me. The man of sin is visible, isn't it? For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. This is St. Paul, a mature man of God, cannot perform it. Now, is this an excuse? No. But it's giving you a concept to really comprehend. You are on a road of really transformation. A road of transformation. A road of waiting for the fullness of Christ to be established in us. That's a road. It's a walk. It's one step in front of the other. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin which dwells within. Did you hear that? Fixed and operating in my soul, mind, will, and emotions. Mind, will, and emotions. I can see my will going in the wrong direction, even though my spirit man is fully aware and has no ability to change it. Have I got a few friends out there? You see, what is happening is when you begin to identify the man of sin, and when you recognize that he's always with you, then you're not going to be waiting for some man of sin to be showing up in the earth 100 years from now or even next week. You're going to be focused on the real problem. The sin nature in us is not going to be dealt with until the fullness of Christ is established. My sister says in Ephesians, okay, we are seated with Christ. If I'm seated with Christ, and if I'm sitting with Him on a love seat in the heavens, am I going to be all upset about who I am and how many sins I've committed next day? Or next week? Or today? Or yesterday? No. I'm going to be fully aware that He's in charge of all that's happening in me. And He's still putting up with me, loving me as I mature. Amen? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. And I could go on. Verse 6. Now the mind of the flesh. Did you hear that? The mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace with both now and forever. So where's the man of the Spirit? Within you as well. The new creation person is with you all the time. Not part-time, full-time. The person that recognizes that this is just a one-day operation, and then I'm all delivered and free, goes home in deception. I can remember going from one healing service to another, thinking I finally made it. Finally made it. I'm free now. Just to realize that 2 or 3 hours later, bingo! Somebody pulled the trap and I saw another level of deception inside of me. I saw another man of sin. I saw another level of sin inside of me. I saw another level of lies and deception that were working in me and could not control it. All right? What am I saying to you? I say to you, take charge today of recognizing that if you keep condemning yourself, you're going to continue the failure. If I can stress to you one verse, it'll be Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation because you are in Christ Jesus. See, if I focus only on the natural man, I see all the sin part of me. But if I don't focus on the Spirit, there's no balance. Do you understand? If I can see that the Holy Spirit is fully in charge of every aspect of who I am, I'm going to realize that God is not the one that's accusing me. I could take you to Romans 8:29-30. Who's your accuser? It's not the Lord. The Lord is the lover that is trying to get you to stay focused on the inner man, the inner man of the Spirit. If He can get you to really be convinced that the inner man of the Spirit is more alive in Christ than you have a concept of in your mind about yourself, then you will have a victory. A year and a half ago, there was a prophetic word that was given. And in that prophetic word, it said, every single believer is in shades of gray. Not white or black. Now, if you were 100% white, you'd be fully alive in Christ, right? Black, you're fully alive in death, which is the man of sin. But everybody's in shades of gray. As long as you and I are in shades of gray, you've made it. You're in the kingdom. That shade of gray, no matter if it's high or low, is not important. It's you and me in the construction process of coming out of darkness into light. You understand? And every single one of us is to be used even at that time. Everybody's waiting. Well, when I get perfect, then I'm going to be... No! Look at your neighbor if you're waiting for perfection. And say, perfection is already in you. His name is Christ Jesus. And he's on the job. Full time. All the time. Now, if you give up on yourself, what are you going to be doing? Listening to the lies. Amen? See, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that when I begin to relate, which is what God was trying to push my buttons on, if St. Paul was having a problem in Rome, God didn't give up on him. He's not going to give up on him. If God could look at Peter and say to him, do you love me? After he completely failed him, and he saw what was in himself, and Jesus shows up and makes breakfast, then there's a chance for me. See, I can remember also the Lord trying to get me to convince myself to really be aware that I'm a saint under construction. Not a sinner saved by grace. Sinner saved by grace is a religious concept. But the saint under construction is the Holy Ghost concept. Because it's focused on the inner man. It's focused on your spirit reality. It is focused on the dead man being dead and the spirit man being fully alive in Christ. So again, declare it with me. I'm a saint under construction. That's what I am. See, that construction gives you a future of, yes, of, you know, You ever try to repair an old house or an old building and you find something you didn't expect? I was watching the carpenters on one of those remodeling shows, you know, and they were working on a big house in California, and the purchaser of the house was deciding that they were going to spend $162,000 to repair this house. That's a lot of bucks. But they wanted a master bedroom on the second floor of the house, or third floor, or whatever it was. And when they got up there, they had all these plans, right? And the architect says, but you got to figure the plumbing, you got to figure your electricity, and blah, blah, blah. And they wanted a master bathroom, and they wanted this and that. And he says, you can't do it here. There's no place to bring the plumbing up. I mean, if you're going to redraw the whole house, And you want this, you're going to have pipes coming through your living room. But who wants pipes coming through the middle of the living room? You can't, you know. So they had to refurbish their plans and to reestablish your... And I said, Lord, that's us. That's us. How many wants to see the sewer line coming down through the middle of your living room? You just don't want it. Amen? No! But you know what? God says to you and me, it's okay. Adjust. You are under construction. Right now you're under construction. Right now you're a saint. If you go home to me with the Lord tomorrow, the man of sin goes into the ground and disintegrates. That's what happens. Amen? Because that's what you're fighting. And we hold on to this with everything we can to keep it good, to keep it functioning. Yes, it's a temple, but it's a temporary home. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15 says, I have a house with God that's made in the heavens, prepared for me. Last week we saw a vision of, you know, the Lord has many rooms. Amen? So, again, don't be discouraged about the man of sin. Be aware that he's there. But don't focus on him as best you can. And if he does get away with something, what else is new? Repent quickly, run back to the Lord and say, hey, use it for your glory. Educate me. Give me compassion for this area. And when you meet somebody that's got the same problem, maybe then you'll be there to fix them. And to be there to have compassion for them. I was at a party yesterday. And a little while back, this young man, that we were celebrating his birthday. We were celebrating his Christmas time and his Easter time. Because he was incarcerated. And he was released this past week. So his parents had a cake made. Had on the top left-hand corner, Merry Christmas. On the right-hand corner, Happy Easter. On the lower left was Welcome Home. On the lower right, Happy Birthday. They had a Christmas tree set up in the backyard. And this young man had a very difficult couple of years. But now, he's on a road to recovery with very narrow guidelines. And as we reminded him that we would continue to intercede for him, he said, thank you. And I said to him, because we didn't have a great deal of time because there were a lot of people, I said, what did you find that you've learned about yourself while you were incarcerated? He said, well, there was a teenage boy that went in. And he says, a maturing man that came out. And he's heading for college. And he's going to study criminal justice. And I looked at him and I said, I am so proud of you. Because you know what? You're going to have a heart for the young man or young woman whoever gets into trouble. Because you fell through the cracks. And an accident happened, and someone died. But I really believe this man that you said went in as a little boy has come out as a man full of life and will be used for God's glory. Do we comprehend the man of sin? In ourselves? No. Do we understand him? I don't believe we do. I think we put up with it. But I'm trying to make you aware of is that Jesus already dealt with it. Jesus already took care of the details. Don't get that out of shape. Give it to him. Whatever aspect of yourself that you can't stand, give it to Jesus. And you know what? With his compassion, with his mercy, and with his grace, he will keep that resurrection man alive. And give you an ability to stay focused on the new creation. Not on the old. That's the enemy's job. He's going to constantly push your buttons to let you see how ugly you were. Amen? And I'm going to give you one more verse. Romans 6:16, which I learned many years ago. Well, let me go 14 first. For sin shall not exert dominion over you, since now you are not under the law, but under grace, as subject of God's favor and mercy. Do you hear? Now you are not under the law, but under grace, as subjects of God's favor and mercy. So God's favor is going to automatically come towards me, and so will His mercy.
Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we sin not under the law, but under God's favor and mercy? Certainly not. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him whom you obey, whether to be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right doing and right standing with God.
Thank God, though you were once slaves of sin, you have become obedient with all your heart. Can you imagine? To the standard of teaching in which you were instructed, to which you are now committed, and having been set free from sin, you have become a servant of righteousness, of conformity of the divine will, in thought, purpose, and action. In thought, purpose, and action. I mean, talk about transition. So St. Paul has tasted of the old man of sin. He's seen what it can do, but he's also tasted of the goodness of God. And he's tasted of the goodness of the Anointed One inside of himself. Bible stuff. I want you to stand up. Say, Lord Jesus, today I'm declaring boldly that the new creation is alive and well in me. And I will confess with great joy, Christ Jesus is my Lord. And I am full of His reality, His righteousness, His love, His mercy, His compassion towards myself first. Towards me first. And then the rest will flow on. Amen. And now may His anointing be upon you as you continue to worship and give Him praise every single morning, every single night, and that you will see the man of life. You will see the man of the Spirit within yourself, not just the man of sin. Amen. Share some hugs with each other. Oh, I